Father God, thank you again for the wonderful word that we can open. Many times, Lord, we bring words to you, words of praise, but sometimes we bring questions. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have put a lot of questions in your word to us to help us to think. Questions that we need to have answers for ourselves. And so again, Lord, as we open up your word to look at this thing called fear, we ask, Father, that you would teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fear is not the enemy of humanity. Some people think it is. Some people would like to get rid of all fear. I think they have not thought things through very well. You see, God invented all human emotions. Every human emotion that exists was invented by God, and He invented the emotional response that we call fear. It's part of the brain called the amygdala. You ever heard of the amygdala? It's a very important part of the brain. I don't know why you haven't heard about it. The amygdala is a center of the brain that is responsible for initiating the fear response, the sensation of fear. And it also makes us memorize the sights and the sounds that are associated with the feeling of fear. And without this part of the brain, we would be in very deep trouble. When this part of the brain is damaged, when something has happened, a lesion in the brain has caused this part to not function properly, we are no longer afraid of dangerous things, and we don't respond instantly to split-second decision type of things where we need to be careful or to avoid something, like the response to an attack, someone is trying to assault you, or the response to an accident. Sometimes that split-second timing or that split-second action that you respond with is the difference between life and death. And so God knew that we were going to be living in this kind of a world that is a dangerous world, and He equipped us with a thing called fear, this organ of the brain that is highly sophisticated, and it works in various ways with the neurological system, the hearing, the sight, and everything. It's very complex, but it's something that God invented for mankind. Now, fear does have side effects. The good side effects of fear is that it equips us to respond very rapidly, split seconds, rapidity, to something that's dangerous in our lives. We can act very quickly. But if we get frightened and there is no danger, well, then the adrenaline still pumps. The amygdala still works. And we start getting the things that go along with the fear, such as the rapid heart rate, or the high blood pressure, or the stopping of digestive processes, or the ability to be wide awake and alert, even when we're supposed to be asleep. So you can see why fear has some bad side effects, and those bad side effects actually can damage your health. In our text that was read, that Terry read, and he read out of the New American Standard, and I have the NIV, which is a little bit differently. But Jesus, in both translations, Jesus does not say, "Why are you afraid?" That is not what Jesus said. That would have been an illogical question, because there's a good reason for them to be afraid, as we'll see. But he did ask this, "Why are you so afraid?" And that word is actually in there. Some people think they just put, in different translations, they put different words. Well, I checked it out. And this word, "so afraid," means in this manner. Why are you afraid in this manner? Why are you afraid? Why are you this frightened? Why are you this frightened? Why are you afraid like this? So afraid. And the reason Jesus asked this question is that, in other words, God is not against fear because He invented it. He knew we needed fear to survive in this world. But He is against uncalled for fear, or fear for the wrong reason. for fear of the wrong thing. What are our reasons for fear? Well, sometimes our reasons for fear are unfounded, but sometimes they are real. Sometimes our reasons for fear are real. In verse 37, this is real. It says a furious squall. Now, that's like a gale. A squall, it comes up suddenly. It says, a furious squall came up. Now, these men had seen storms. And, of course, when there's a fearful thing, what does our amygdala do? It memorizes it. And they were probably having flashbacks. You know, I lost a brother in a storm like this. He drowned. Or I lost a friend. Or I know some people down the street that were neighbors and they lost a loved one. And they probably started seeing some things. This is danger. We could lose our necks. We could die in this. And already the adrenaline was starting to pump. But what could they do? They could grip real hard the sides of the boat. That's about it. You know, sometimes fear causes that response, and there's really nothing we can do about it. Now, it's something about water. You know, water can be very calm. It's in the calm, you know. He leads us beside calm waters. But, you know, when water is attacking us, like if you're swimming and a big wave hits you, it almost feels like it has a personality and it's against you. I don't know. I've felt that before. I have felt that before when you're fighting the water. And you're actually fighting. And actually, the word here seems to give it a little bit of a personality. Furious. Furious. And I forget how they describe it. I don't know what the word used, that translation used. But it gave it a personal entity. It was a furious squall. Like it was angry, you know? And it's almost that kind of sense. That kind of sense that someone is attacking. And you know, what happens when something attacks you? You're either going to fight or flee. That's the response of adrenaline that amygdala gets going for you. Well, this was also unexpected. And you know something? An ingredient in all the movies, an ingredient in all the books that causes fear, that causes fright, is what? The unexpected. If you want to have a good scare somebody real good, then you do something unexpected to them, right? And it makes them afraid. And kids know this, and that's how they do that kind of stuff. And if you make a good movie that way, you get all of a sudden things are nice and calm, all of a sudden, bang! All of a sudden, and it causes the audience to, you know. Well, that's part of what happened here. It came up. They weren't expecting this. And it caught them off guard. And that's something for us to think about. What's coming up? What's popping up in our lives that causes us to maybe have this response? It can be a response that's like, oh, at first you take a breath and you're fearful. But then the fear goes on and your mind is more alert. And then your mind starts, the wheels start turning. What would happen then if this happened? Or what would happen then? What would I do if this happened? Oh, if that happened, da 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 da, I'm alert, I'm oriented, I'm awake, I can't sleep. And fear has started this little process so that you're captured by fear. Well, it says the waves broke over the boat. They broke over the boat. You know, there was real danger here. And real danger can cause real fear. You see, a lot of people try to say, oh, fear is nothing, just ignore it. Fear is not nothing. God created it. There's a reason for it. It happens. And many times it happens because of real things, such as these real waves breaking over the boat. What are the real waves that are breaking over your boat right now? You know, there are some things that are real, but waves of physical illness or physical disability may be breaking over your boat. Maybe the waves of financial stress. That's a real thing. And the way things fluctuate, such as the economy, if you have your money in stocks and bonds or whatever, the way things fluctuate and the way taxes go up or the way that prices go up living in a facility like this, there's stress involved. And some of that stress gets a worry or a fear or an anxiety going, and the amygdala is saying, you know, I went through something like this before, and I'm going to have a hard time. What if I don't make it through this time? Oh, I'm going to think about this. And our mind shifts, I can't sleep, you know, because the fear has got a hold of us. Well, these are real threats. But some of these disciples, you know, they, not all of them, but some of them were still seeing it. And they could assess the situation and they could analyze what was going on. And here's what they said. The waves were breaking over the boat and it was nearly swamped. It was nearly swamped. They're looking at this, and somebody, one of the disciples, wrote this down actually and said, you know, our boat was nearly swamped. That is their assessment. Well, this amygdala, this part of the brain that imprints this memory of not only the fear, but the context of the fear, the sights and the sounds. It reminds me of when Rosemary and I were in an accident. And there were four of us, Rosemary and I and two other students, and we were going probably 65 miles an hour down the road, and Rosemary swerved in this coyote, and we tumbled in this car, 65 miles an hour. Bum, 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 bada, bum. Rosemary was thrown through the windshield. The other girl was thrown out. And this other guy and I were just beat around like two people in a tin can, you know, going over and over and over. We could have been killed. Now, that's heavily imprinted on my mind because I was woken out of a dead sleep into just tossing and turning and everything. It's just crazy. You know, like something had a hold of us and was shaking the car. Well, for years, if I was riding in a car and I happened to fall asleep, the slightest bump, I would wake up like that. Oh, you know, and I'd be right awake, and my heart pumping. But it was only a little bump. But what happened is that their amygdala had imprinted on the brain what happens with a little bump. So be careful, next time you feel a little bump. And it took years for that. It's almost like frightful memory can stick with us. And threatening situations in the past can make us respond improperly to things in the present that seem to be a little threatening, you know. Even if we don't have anything to worry about. I mean, there's really no real threat. It's because the context is so similar. The fear starts and the adrenaline starts pumping. And that's when our faith is tested. You see, this whole thing tests faith. I talked earlier about faith and fear being sort of pitted against one another. Well, this next point in the passage is that when our fears confront us, our faith is tested. And it was tested here. I want to read this statement, and I want you to listen carefully to it. Our battle with fear is won when we do not let fear distract us from what is of higher importance. I'm going to read it again so you remember it, because we're going to talk about this. Our battle with fear is won when we do not let fear distract us from what is of higher importance. Fear often stands in the pathway of duty. It's something we may need to do, and it stands in the pathway of duty. And then we hear this familiar voice of fear. It's the voice of self-preservation. And it tries to woo us away from the call to self-sacrifice. And if we listen to fear, sometimes we will stop and we will not go down the pathway of duty if we listen to our fears. Now this concept of going right on through our fears and doing what you're supposed to do, many people have captured this in poems, or they've captured it in short phrases of epigrams and maxims, and I'll read a few of these. Not all of them might have the addresses to the people who wrote them, but some are anonymous. You conquer fear by doing the right thing that you fear to do. You conquer fear by doing the right thing that you fear to do. Obstacles are those frightful things we see when we take our eyes off our goal. And then the bravest are surely those who have the dearest vision of what is before them, glory and danger alike, and yet notwithstanding go out to meet it. That was written by Thucydides, a Greek philosopher, writer. If we let fear distract us from what is important, if we let fear distract us to a certain degree, we will even question whether God is still in control. Here's what they did. Teacher, don't you even care that we're perishing, that we're dying, that we're going to drown? Don't you even care? You're not even concerned. And many people respond to God that way. So, the storm seemed to have taken charge of them. It's not like God was in charge anymore. It's like this, because they had focused on their source of fear, the storm, it was as if the storm now had charge, not God. And that's what fear can do if we focus on fear rather than seeing past it to the goal we have. Now, Jesus had given them a nonverbal message. Because, you know, in our life, threatening things and threatening people sometimes replace our trust in God. We look at the thing we fear rather than trusting God. And Jesus was giving it an example of how to deal with fearful things, especially since he knew the outcome anyway. Jesus gave them this nonverbal message of taking a nap. Now, what more relaxed thing can you do than just take a nap? You know? And he was also, you know how you, when you're napping, you sort of know what's going on around you, but you go back into sleep. You know what I'm talking about. He probably felt his shoulders, the water coming over. He said, I'm tired, I'm going to take a nap. Well, his nonverbal taking a nap really said something like this. No big deal, fellas. Follow me and catch a few winks. That's what we need. You know, that's probably what his nonverbal was trying to get across to these fearful, fearful men. Now, later on, his faith was tested because Jesus went through the things that test humanity. But it wasn't tested on the Sea of Galilee. It was tested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's another story. But yes, Jesus was tested, but not here. Because he knew who was in charge and everything was going to be okay. And maybe the next time that a storm threatens us, no matter what kind of storm it is, whether it's somebody attacking us, or we're losing this, or whatever it is, maybe we should look around. It doesn't seem like God's doing anything. Okay, looks like God's sleeping on this one, that everything's going to be all right. If God's not doing anything right now, or moving you to do something, then everything must be going to be okay, just like when Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. Don't worry about it. Join Jesus, take a nap. And by the way, naps are real good on these kind of things sometimes. Well, there was a young boy who was diagnosed with an enlarged heart and was told, or his parents at least were told, that he wasn't going to live that long because he had this enlarged heart. So he heard about that and he decided that he was going to sneak out and get one last swim down at the dam. I'm going to go out in the nighttime and do some nighttime swimming. Well, he did it. And he felt better. So the next night, he did it again. And he did it again the next night. He kept feeling better. But one of those nights, he swam too close to the dam, and he got sucked under by the undertow of this current that was going out the side of the dam and shooting out of this pool below. He got sucked right under the water and shot out on the other side. He said it was one of the most terrifying experiences of his life. It was so much fun to shoot out that waterfall into that next pool. That the next night, he got over to that spot so he'd do it again. And he did it again, and he did it again. Now, you may think that's sort of funny. You're scared. But he didn't want to stay away from it. There's something about fear, too, when you face it. There's sometimes a reward, and he seemed to get that reward. And that guy who did that, instead of dying, as predicted, went on to become a great Hollywood director, John Huston, who directed so many of the films that we watch and enjoy. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." Do the thing that you fear, and the fear of death is certain. One thing about John Huston that they said was that he was such a good director because he took so many risks with actors and took so many risks with new ideas, innovative things. and trying new ideas. So, and when they said, well, why do you do that? He says, well, I faced my fears early in life. You know, they told me I was going to die, and I did. And many times later on, they thought I was going to die, and he did. He went on to direct more movies. Well, the testing of our faith, the testing of our Christian faith, is in our confrontation with these fears. And God's not so concerned about the storms in our life. What his attention is drawn to is how we respond to these storms. And I ask the question, do we follow Jesus in the way that we deal with our storms? How did Jesus deal with the storm, and do we follow him in it? Well, first of all, he was calm about the storm. And secondly, even after waking up, he was still calm. He was still calm. He didn't get all excited. He did not adopt the fears of those who were around him. This is what the Christian has a tendency to do many times. There are fears around us all the time. In the newspaper, in magazines, in different documentaries and so on, there are fears about what's going to happen next. And we get sucked into these. And we don't need to do this. How did Jesus respond? He said, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And that's what we need to do. We need to speak not only to our circumstances, but quiet down, be still. I don't need to listen to you. And don't listen to those circumstances. Just ignore them. Or better yet, tell them to be quiet and calm down if they're sort of making things ruffle. And then maybe to our own heart we need to do this too. It's starting to beat faster. And maybe we need to say, quiet, be still, relax, be at peace. And that's what Jesus did. The real focus of Jesus' concern, though, was the response of these fearful disciples. People are more important than passing storms. And his focus is on these disciples. Jesus' question, why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid of that? Why are you so afraid? It's given an implied answer in the next question that Jesus asked, which is this. Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? God's concern for us is not that we're not afraid during the storm. You know, he gave us fear as a built-in response. So yes, we're going to be afraid. That's not what God is concerned about. Not that we have some fears, but that we face our fears and that we conquer our fears with our faith. With God, courage and faith are almost synonymous. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. And that's the point. The testing of our faith is in its confrontation with our fears. Storms come up and to be have a healthy fear, that's wisdom when storms come up. But as Shakespeare said, extreme fear can neither fight nor flee. You're just frozen. You just can't do anything. And that's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to not have anxiety or fears that are unfounded and then get all tightened up and in knots with our fear, eating up all of our energy and drowning our hopes. God wants us to prevent us from that. Now, if we have responded to Jesus who knocks at the door of our heart and that we invite him in to stay, then when the fears of life come, we're going to be able to hear the knocking, and faith will go to the door and open it, and there'll be no one there. That's the response that we need. Because you see, it's in the answer of the disciples, really. Who is this living in our heart? Who is with us in the boat? Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. That's the one we need to put our focus on. We have a sure foundation for faith. It's Jesus Christ. And if we've asked Him into our hearts to be our Savior, and He resides there, we can go through any storm and any boat. And doesn't matter how big the boat is or safe it is, it seems like, we can go through it. Because He's with us. And He's the Master. And He does care that we perish, if we're going to perish. He's not concerned, though, about the storm. He's concerned about your faith and how you face your fear. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this word from Your holy word about fear. And I pray, Father God, that You will strengthen our faith. Help us to hold on more securely to the God that is living within us in Jesus Christ, that we are Your children, and that You're going to take care of us. We do not need to fear to the point of unbelief, but to have faith and go through our fears to the other side. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.